All right, so Tafnun Aleph Sif Yud Dalet. So last week at Gimel we concluded with the patches on the pots, not so relevant today, but Yud Dalet is more relevant today. Kisui Shel Barzel, we had, this is echoes of things we learned in Yerideya. If you have a cover of a metal cover, Shemachasim Bo Hakder, with which you cover a pot, so Tzarech Hagala, you're going to require Hagala, Kevin Shemaziah B'chol Shah Michom Hakder, because there is always Zaya, there's always the sweat. The moisture that comes off of the food from the heat of the pot. Let's say you didn't kasher it and you used that pot top on something over the course of Pesach. So all tafshil is then going to be aser, because the zeya from the pot will get mixed up with the food itself.
The zeya from the pot.
The zeya from the pot. The zeya sakisui from the cover. Misari b'tafshil. Yeah. We'll mix in with the food. Okay, so that is the right, was when the moisture builds up from the food. The entire thing is considered to be like one food, right? The moisture going back and forth creates one entity. So it's going to be like mamish cooking in a non-kosher pot. If you have a pot of chametz tikka pot top on top of a kosher l'pesach pot.
That wouldn't be any different from meat and milk, would it?
So it wouldn't be any different from meat and milk, except for there are a couple of differences, which are mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. So far the dinim are the same. However, in the Mishnah Berurah, so he adds in a couple of details. Number one, Yudalet Pei. So the Beis Yosef actually quotes, if you look in the Beis Yosef quotes from, I believe, a Mordechai or somebody of that ilk. The Hagos Maimoni, who quotes this, was quoting from the Mordechai. Yeah, that there is an issue that he talks about libun. He talks about the possibility of requiring libun on a pot top. So why in the world would you require libun on a pot top? The whole connection is only by way of liquids, right? It's all zayit. So why in the world would you require libun using a direct fire? So he explains, lafuke oso kisui she'ofen alav betzak tzarech libun, that if you actually used a pot top, which you regularly put bread on top, right? If it was some kind of steam, whatever. I don't know. That's what they used to do. So if you had a pot top and you used to actually put stuff on top, so you used to take your rolls, your bread, and put it directly on top in order to cook it, so then you're cooking bread. There's a direct heat. There's no liquid medium, and therefore it would require libun. Okay, so that's Mishnah Berurah number one. The other Mishnah Berurah we wanted to say, skip pay out and let's go to pay base. Where he brings in a couple of details. So v'imasnu b'pesach, if you use it on Pesach, so Mishnah Berurah adds in, afil imakisoi hudachyaf, even if it was totally clean. She'ein bo chashash mishum chametz bein, you have no concern that there's actually chametz there. Afilu hachi aser is still prohibited, mishum zeyas chametz habluah b'socho, because of the sweat of the chametz that is absorbed within it. She'yorid umisari b'atavshel, that it's going to go down, it's going to be mixed together with the food, al yidei ha'hevel, because of the sweat. Ha'ola me'atavshel l'hakisoy kishu rotach, from the
probably
a
vapor.
What did I say? What?
I just said
right. A better word for sweat would be vapor. I was trying to figure out what would be a better word than sweat. Okay, vapor or moisture. Right. So the moisture from the cooked food will get mixed in with the top. Shu rotach, that which is hot. Period. Okay. Uva pesach, and on pesach we also aser b'mashu. Right, so we're going to have a stronger chumrah because we prohibit it by way of a mashu. Okay, however, there is one further thing which I would think maybe this would never be applicable. What is that? Because by the time you get to Pesach, right, it generally 24 hours have passed from the last time you have used it. Right, so the fact that you've waited 24 hours, does that help? So he adds in, v'imnasnu be'erev Pesach achar shish shos. So let's say you do it on erev Pesach, but after 6 hours. Azim yesh shishim betafshil neged kol hakisoy, if you have 60 cooked things opposite the pot top, it's going to be mutter, right? So you would say that it would, that case, be batel v'shishim, something that was cooked on erev Pesach, one has the right to say batel v'shishim. Now, generally with the top of a pot, you're not going to get to shishim. You're going to require a pretty big pot for the top to be 1/60th of whatever is inside. But
versus the whole top rather than the blios that are in the top.
Well, if it's a chametz dik pot top, we assume that it would be opposite the whole pot, assuming if it was used. The only way it would not is if the only time you ever used it, it was with food that was smaller than the whole top. A lot of OPs here, right? And if you used it once for one P, well, I guess P would be kidneys, so that wouldn't be chametz. But for if you used it for hot cereal once, for a quarter of a bag of hot cereal once, right? So one can make a case it would only answer part of the hot stuff.
Is what he's trying to say here that Erev Pesach it's not mashu?
Right. So that's issue number one of Erev Pesach. And he adds in, v'imnasnu be'Erev Pesach, that's what we just read. V'chein, similarly, im hakisui einu ben yomo, me'eis shekisu bo kedei rachamitz mutter b'shas adchak, l'chulyama denosin tam lefgam be'Erev Pesach. Mutter. So, and similarly, if you use it Erev Pesach, but it hadn't been used for 24 hours beforehand, so then you would say tam lefgam, right? 24 hours, and the taste is nullified, and it's gone. However, masha einkin bePesach itself, afilim hu einu ben yomo asr l'das harama le'el v'simin tuf mem zayin. Right, but if you did it on Pesach itself, even if it wasn't einu ben yomo, it's going to be prohibited according to the Ramah. Right, that's the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. But we paskin, we obviously paskin like the Ramah, that the heter of Eino Ben Yomo doesn't apply to Helchos Pesach once you get to Pesach itself. Okay? So that, although the patap might not be so relevant to us, the details from the Shibur are important. Yeah?
I guess before they had... Okay, I can't remember. Before they had Pesach milk, you bought it before Pesach, because I think it was bought double shishim before...
Milk.
Yeah,
but we still have that minute now because I believe it's because there's grain in the milk and it could be that there was a grain that got into the pot, so it's therefore right. You would buy it before Pesach to ensure. The truth is, you could buy it the first day of Chol Moed also. Right? That's not. The milk is not getting from the stomach of a cow to your supermarket in 3 days. Right? It might be getting there in 5 days or 6 days, but it's not getting there in 3 days. So we recommend L'chatchila to buy your milk before. Before Pesach.
R&R is owned by Jews, so it starts before. I remember when I asked them, how come your milk doesn't say kosher or Passover? I said, because I guess they're Jewish and they acquired it before.
So. They buy all their milk before. Okay.
And because it counts from there, because they're ready.
Okay, so they fine.
What about Chalav Yisrael?
Chalav Yisrael would have the same issue, I think. Unless it gets here slower from the farm, but there's Chalav Yisrael milk. There's a Chalav Yisrael milk farm right up the road in Lancaster. So, so that's Simin. That's Sif Yudalit. Okay, Sif Tesvav. We continue talking about the Kisui. The Kisui Shel Parzel Shema Simin Oso Al Hacharara. If you take a top and you put it on top of a cake, Kishenafis Al Hakira Tzarech Libun. So when the cake is being cooked on top of the kira, it has a lid right on top of it, so then it's right on top of it. It would require a libun, right? There's no liquid medium. I think the Mishavur points that out. Mishavur says, Shelo Ayudei Mashka. There's no liquid there. So you're going to require a libun because it was directly on the loaf of bread or cake or whatever it is that was there. Fine. Come Sif Tes Zayin. Now, so truth is, we'll do Tes Zayin. The Tes Zayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, and Yud Tes are all dealing with kalim that you only use cold. So there's four sifim in a row that discuss chumras of kalim. Right? Generally, we always assume unless there's hot, right? Unless there's hot and unless there's liquid, we say you don't have a problem of chametz, right? Because you're not going to have a problem with blios. Right, because how's it going to get in there? However, when it comes to Pesach, so we're machmir with regards to a few things that are that only come in contact dry and cold. So, for example, meducha. Number one is meducha. What is meducha? A mortar. So a mortar is mutter bahagala. Right, so it's talking about a non-cheres mortar, right? A metal mortar. And we have one of those in our... the chavagat for some pharmacy thing or something, so we have a metal mortar. You have a metal mortar?
A mortar and pestle.
Yes, when it's used to crush up, to grind up things.
Medicine.
Mortar.
Medicine.
M-O-R-T-A-R. Mortar.
It's like bricks.
It's a different word. So meducha muteres bahagala. So mortar is mutter bahagala. V'im hi gedola she'enu yachol lachnisa biyoro. Let's say you have a really big mortar that you wouldn't be able to fit it in. Meisim b'may rochim u'machas besocha even rotachas. Sorry, the pestle is the smasher. The mortar is the holder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the mortar is the holder. So if you have a really big mortar that you're not going to be able to get it into some other pot of water, so you could put water in it. You put into it a hot stone. And the heat, the water will go above the sides, the lips of all of the whole pot. And that would be considered hagala of kli rishon. So that is the regular rule of a mortar. So Mishnah Berurah points out that why are you doing hagala? Why are you doing hagala on it? You generally don't heat up your mortars, right? You just put in cold things. So the Mishnah Berurah adds in bein shel eitz, bein shel even, pave up, whether it's a wooden mortar, whether it is a stone mortar. Both of those, by the way, you could do hagala on, right? So umatechos or metal, right? V'hayu regilin ladoch besochu shumim, right? We generally would crush within their spices v'dvarim charifim and things that are charif. Now the sun is starting to get interesting, right? Charif can create heat. Im pirure lechem, and sometimes there might be breadcrumbs. V'hu dami lebeis seor ubeis charoses. Amavur lekam besif chaf beis. Similar to the barley holder and the beis charoses is I forgot what that was. But some other type of spice holder. He says, however, hagala would work for those for a wheat, a barley holder kind of thing. But it was there for a while, right? It was there for a while, and it's crushed, and you crush things in it. And while you crush things in it, there might have been some chametz there. So therefore, you have to be choshesh, and you have to do hagala. That is the chumra here. The Mishnah Berurah gets into some details about crushing and about whether there was a davar charif and whether things got etc. But I don't think it's so relevant. But there's Tes Zayin, Yud Ches, and Yud Ches are all talking about cold things. Yud Ches is a sickle. Yud Zayin is talking about the things where you would let the dough rise on, right? So you just put dough on a pan, so and let it rise, and you don't cook it on that pan. So in theory, it should require kashering, right? No. We're going to require kashering for that over the course of Pesach, and he finally talks about a winnowing shaft thing, and those things are involved in the makings of bread. So those would require kashering for Pesach.
Right.
The beisur is where they cut the sourdough, and there's a question whether and the fact that it was there for a while created some kind of reaction that perhaps created to be a little hotter. Does that make sense? That sourdough would become, that reaction would make it hotter, and that might absorb it into the walls, and if you have to be careful, it matters whether it's a big one or whether it's a little one, etc. Okay.
And this also says there's a place where they put sharp things with chametz.
Sharp things with chametz. Okay.
So like, I guess, onions or something.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to chaf. Chaf is much coming right back into our homes and into our dining rooms. Chaf says, "Hashulchanos v'hatevos shematznihim ban ochlim." If you have tables and you have tevos, you have chests where you put food, kol hashana, the entire year. Ragilin larus aleihem rochin lefisha lepamin nishpach merek min hakaderos lesochem. So we have our minug is well. Ragilim laros aleim rochim. We pour hot water on it. We kasher it. Because often soup from the pots may have fallen within it. So, do we do that? Do we kasher our shelves? Do we, right? We don't really kasher our shelves. So why don't we kasher our shelves in our cupboard? So it says the Mishnah Berurah, Shematzin Behen Ochlim, he says, Chamin, where you would put hot food. Aval stam tevos ain't tzarech agala, but regular chests don't require agala, right? So if you have a pantry, so your pantry where you keep cans of beans or cans of or hot cereal, you know, the oatmeal, right? Totally chametz, well, might not be totally chametz yet, but things that we would consider chametz, the entire, you keep cookies, right? So you don't require hagala there. Why don't you require hagala? Because you never put anything hot there, right? This Shulchan Aruch, where he says you require hagala where you store food, he's talking about storing hot food. But if you don't, if you never store hot food there, so I don't think we ever put hot food in our closet, right? So that's not going to require, that's not going to require real hagala.
What if the rest of the year, would it be putting down meat and another time putting down dairy, or is that just a Passover?
I don't think we're not for the surface.
Is only for Passover.
Yeah, we don't. He's talking about for Pesach. Yeah.
So what's a table or a counter where you could put hot things down?
So that's the next line of Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah Berurah says Laros Aleihem. It says Mikli Rishon, from a Kli Rishon. So if it was something from a Kli Rishon, so then it would require Hagala, or at least Eroi. Right. The Shulchan Aruch talks about Eroi. It talks about pouring hot water onto those things. Right. So that's maybe the minhag. So it depends whether it's kasherable or not. Right. So if you have formica, we don't really know what formica. Formica is like a plastic, I think. It's compared at least to plastic.
Probably.
We don't know whether it's we don't know what it is. At least we don't know what it is. And it's not stone, and it's not wood, and it's not metal. So therefore, we don't know whether it could be kosher or not. So when it comes to formica, we're machmir to. Not to even kasher, not to even use it at all. Rather, we always cover the formica up.
So if you cover it, you don't have to worry so much about it.
Right. If you cover it up, one shouldn't. There is a Rama in Yeridanya where he says covering up. We never really rely solely on covering it up. So I think most have it. We pour water on it. The question is the other way. The question is the marble countertops. So granite or marbles. People will dafka buy marble or granite countertops so that they don't have to cover up their things on Pesach. So there's been.
But they do have to pour water on.
Right, they have to, that's what this is talking about. They have to do Eroi, meaning the Shulchan Aruch, what material is he talking about? So he's talking about having a metal table, he's talking about having a wooden table, so therefore you do Eroi on it. That's wonderful. Right? He says, so is that it? Is that all you need to do is Eroi? So there's two issues that people raise with regards to the quartz, granite, or marble countertops, and that is, one issue is that it's true that it's marble, granite, or marble, granite, or quartz, or something like that. But there's often a little glaze that's on it as well. So I say it's mostly stone, but what is that little thing on top? So that's the issue that some raise. Whether you're okay. The other issue. So I remember when my parents were redoing their kitchen, so they asked me, "Does it make a difference if it's quartz, marble, or granite?" Like, I don't think marble was an option. Quartz or granite? Is there a difference between those? I remember I asked Rav Shachter. Rav Shachter said, "No, I don't know. I think you really have to cover it no matter what." Mm-hmm. Why do you have to cover it no matter what? So that's the next Mishnah Berurah. So we'll see what the Mishnah Berurah says, and then I'll tell you how it got me into trouble and how I got out of it. So it says the Mishnah Berurah, Umahariv Simon Kufzadi Gimel Pasak, the Lo Mahani Eroi, that Eroi doesn't work on the table / countertop / shelves that you put hot food. Why? Because there are times when people would put on warm pashtida. What's pashtida? It's unclear what it is, but it's chametz. Some type of chametz, right. It's kugel, some type of kugel. So you put on chametz on top of it, and you put hot chametz right on top of it. Right? So, and therefore it's as if you used a kli rishon on it. Right? It's, right? That stuff, that's what we call in Shilchus Shabbos terms a davar gush. That a piece of kugel is not, if you take a piece of kugel out of a pot and put it on a plate, so we don't call that, Maybe we're mafker. We don't call that kli sheni kugel. We call that the vergush kugel and maintains its kli rishon status. So if you would take a piece of kugel out of your pot and put it onto your counter, so guess what? That is a kli rishon status going right onto your counter, in which case iroy should not work to get those blios out. You should require a kli rishon to get that out, and which sounds like you would require dunking your entire countertop into a boiling hot water. That's not so easy. However, our way, how do we get a kli rishon? How do we move, get something to be kli rishon? How do we turn iroy into kli rishon? So we could do yachshirim ayudei evan mulubam. You could use a hot stone. V'yishpoch halav rodchin v'yigalgil l'makum ater v'yishpoch halav k'dei sheyelchu harodchin b'kulo. So then you can pour hot water with, in conjunction with having this hot stone present, and that creates the kli rishon on the countertop. I've heard recommended to use a hot iron, to take water and put the water on top and use a hot iron. That would count as the evan l'luban. So why not? The truth is, it's not so easy. Not so easy to do this, right? To take it, where you're getting a hot stone that you're going to put on top of your oven, on top of your counters. So Shachter said, I'm not really sure why everybody is so makel about this. Sounds like it should be machmir, right? And Kli Rishon, having quartz granite countertops, right? That shouldn't work. You should require a Kli Rishon in order to get the blios out because of the Dover Gush that may have fell on it. So I remember my first year in Phoenix, I gave, you know, my first Pesach classes, and I said this is the way I see the halacha. It seems like you should have to cover your quartz and granite countertops. and people had dafka bought their quartz and granite in the last couple of years. We've done their kitchen for the purpose of Pesach. So that was like my first like big mess that I got myself into. So I called Rav Shachter. I said, what about if we make the following deal? Right, we say that you're allowed to leave it uncovered, but the condition is that if any hot solid food, meaning any chicken cutlets or kugel or things like that, fall directly onto the counter, so then you'd have to throw it out over the course of Pesach. Deal. He said it might not be the case. I mean, it could be that you could be makel on that. And the truth is, that's the rest of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah points out after the brackets, he says, "V'az mutar laniach alei mafilu matzah cham uvidiyeved mutar ayvei iroy levat." Says vidiyeved, really iroy would work. Meaning vidiyeved, you could rely. You don't have to be makra on that ma'ariv. So technically, you could say, look, if a piece of chicken falls on it, a kugel falls on it. So guess what? We call that vidiyeved. But it wasn't so comfortable with that, wasn't so comfortable with that. But that was the deal that you made. So if you have the quartz or granite, you can leave it uncovered. You have to do iroy on it, and if something falls on it over the course of Pesach, so that's hot and that's solid. So you would have to you'd have to get rid of it or ask a shayla and then maybe get a kula. that was the conclusion there. Yeah. Fine. And then what's this? Right. So for rokhin kuftesvav. So the mishver as in, this is really what our custom is. V'yesha kasu shetzarech laniach aleim od mapa od davar acher hachotzitz sheminidvak bo adayin od chamitz bein. He says that there are those that write that one should be machmir, mugging it from the name of the ma'aril, that even though you are pouring hot water on, you are doing iroy on these counters and on these tables, really it's still appropriate to put a cover on top of it. A cover on top of it, because there might still be chametz that's there that you missed. By Melody Rabbah, Shemasik, Techein Roy Linhov, Betevus, Megadlim, the Kemat Iev Charlotte Taran, Shalu Yisham, Uma Bein Hadvekin. Thus, it's really impossible to totally clean. By the Shulchan is Pshutin, when you have the plain tables, Ein Lahachmer, so one doesn't have to be Machmer on the completely plain tables, but if you have a table that has any types of rivets or divots or anything like that in it, so one should be Machmer and try to and cover them up. Okay? Fine.
But I mean, if you have a cover on there and you put something hot on it, so I mean, what the assumption is there a certain thickness you need, or
I don't think so. I think we say in blios yotzei elai yidei rotev. So assuming there's no liquid going from the pot to whatever's underneath, so then you wouldn't have to be machmir there. Right? I mean, these issues come to you. You need separate counters for milchiks and fleishiks. So we're machmir here, but we're not necessarily machmir by milk and meat during the year. Why? What's the difference? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva when it comes to sinks. I think we learned this tshuva that you need, he allows grates, right? The kitchen. And what about if you only have one sink? Believe it or not, it's fine for people that only have one sink. So if you only have one, what?
You only have one sink.
You only have one sink? Okay, good. So when I took my ECP, is that what it is? When you take credits for being a chaplain. So I took one group of those credits and it was actually taught by a priest. It's a priest teaching five rabbis about how to whatever that. So he lived to an apartment in Washington Heights, and there's, if you go on Bennett Avenue, there's this like really fancy apartment building on Bennett Avenue that like they built, and like none of these young people living there were moving into it. So he bought one of these apartments, and it was built specifically for Jews. So he's like, wondering, like, why are there two sinks right next to each other? What's the a lot of a cup? Why do I need two dishwashers? What was those put in there for? So explain to him what the reasons were. But anyways, so if you have, so he talks about having only one sink, and you put a grate. So I said, what's going to happen when a fork goes through the grate and hits the sink? He says, chances are that where that fork hits isn't the same spot where the milking spoon hit within the last 24 hours, right? The chances that you're going to hit both in the same spot in the same 24 hours is far-fetched, and one doesn't have to be concerned for that. So we could really say the same thing during the year, right? Plus, really, you could put, when you have a counter, assuming your counters are reasonably clean, right, which you put your thing there, and so the chances that there was going to be a splatter, and this pot's going to be on top of the splatter, and it's going to be fleishiks, and within 24 hours there's going to be a splatter in the same spot, and you're going to dip it in the milking spot, right? So that's pretty far fetched. Okay, so in Simon Tufnan Aleph Sif Chaf Aleph, so he goes back to these also cold things. Chavios Shel Cheres, if you have barrels of cheres, if you have earthenware barrels, right? Shenasnu behem shechar she'orim, that you put in beer, barley juice, right? Mutar behagala o beiroi gimel yam. So it's mutar behagala, right? Or with iroi of 3 days. So both of those are kind of weird. What?
I thought you couldn't kasher earthenware.
Right, so what's going on here? Why all of a sudden are we allowing the koshering of earthenware? So what is, if it's a place for storing beer, so what is not happening in those barrels?
Much heat.
You're not heating them up, right? So that already is the room for the kula. But so what's going on here? So it says in the Mishnah Berurah, Kuftasai, Shenasu Behem Shechar Se'orim, Batzolomar Afilu Hai Behem Kamiyam, even if it was there for many days, meaning that that's where you were storing it. So Mutarim Bahagala, why? The Hadamirin Klicheris Inu Yotzi Mide Dof Yavliolam. He says, that which we say, that things from a kli cheres don't leave the walls ever, hayudafa kishabala al yudei al-horin. It's only when it's absorbed by way of heat. About bitzonein, if it was only cold, so the verb is just kavish kamavushal, it's being mixed together in that way, sagiluhu v'hagala. So we're going to say, hagala is going to be okay. Seems like you're mixing and matching here, but okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. V'lefitam zeh, afilu b'chamin, mutr l'hishtamish bo achar hagala o iroi. It says, even to use that barrel, to use it for hot things, he thinks it would be permissible. After hagala, or after iroi was done, even if it was ben yoma, we believe it's a sheikh, it would be okay. Says maybe you should require a 24-hour wait. Okay, so that's one possibility. You can do hagala. What is this iroi gimel yamim? So he says this is the hainu sheyimalenu mayim afilu tsonenin ayudei gedosav v'yishu b'sofu chaf dalad shos. So you could fill up these cold, you fill up with cold water, and all the way to the top, and you leave it there for 24 hours in a row. Oh, Yoser, or more. Then you pour out all the water. Then you put in more water. You leave for another 24 hours. You leave for another 24 hours. Even if it is... if it is floating, the Iro, it would work, as we learn in Yerdaya. Now, he points you, where did he learn this from? He learned this from Simon Kuf Lamed Hey. What are the halachos in Simon Kuf Lamed Hey? What area of Shulchan Aruch is that talking about? Give you a hint, we haven't learned it yet. All right, so what's in Kuf Lamed Hey? Those are the hilchos of Yayin Nasach. So this idea of this Iroi Timul Yamim is learned out from Isugi at the very end of the Sefer Avodah Zarah, but it talks about doing this practice. So does it work for other things? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be extending it to Hilchos Pesach when it comes to earthenware things that were never cooked in. So the Mishnah Berurah adds in, V'dod das hashach b'yur deyasim kuflam, and hey, the Mishnah Berurah yisurim ein lahach. He says it doesn't apply to other yisurim, it only applies specifically to this. Ida yiru gimel yamim, imay ha-kavish ha-isur b'kli heter me'ez la'ez, the kaimelan kavish kamavushal, we pass again, kavish kamavushal is like vishal chuli alma, and yiru doesn't work even for all these other things. So the Mishnah Berurah here is really putting the brakes on this and being machmer on it. Not only is the Mishnah Berurah machmer on this, the Ramah is machmer on it at the end. This idea is quoted again about using it for glass, and the Ramah seems to be machmir about it when it comes to glass. So this idea of Gimel Yamim, I didn't get a chance, I believe the Aruch HaShulchan, those later poskim talk about that unless you have a specific Masorah to do it, so we don't recommend doing it. So there are those with a specific Masorah. I think Germans have a specific Masorah to take crystals and glasses. I remember one year we did this in my house. My mother grew up in a German household, so she did it one year, and I think I remember seeing this laundry basket of filled with plastic and all the fancy crystal glasses sitting in the bathtub for a week. I think it just didn't work out for whatever reason. So I think we tried it one year and didn't try it again. So this idea of Gimel Yamim, there are those that have a specific minute to do it. Remember in the RJC, when I worked in the RJC, I kind of talked about it and said, not too many people do it, but I forgot, and RJC is filled with Germans. So many people did have the minute to do it.
In any difference between Pesach and just Kashrim?
So we only know this halacha exists by Shari Surim. So by Yayin Nesach. And the Shach says by Yayin Nesach that it doesn't apply to Shari Surim. So it's difficult to say. However, it could be that we're makel by glass by Shari Surim. I mean, it could be that glass is only a chumra by Pesach. We'll have to get to that probably in the next week, probably in 2 weeks. Okay, good. We'll stop here.